Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome on in, Tuesday on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. My name is Jared Cohen, that's Greg Esposito. We're filling in for Brad here on the show today, and we've got a lot to get to. Very profound day in the sports world for a lot of different reasons. First and foremost, iconic figures in the sports world have passed away today. Pat Summitt, the legendary college basketball coach over at Tennessee, has passed away. And Buddy Ryan, the former Cardinals coach, won a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears. He did as well. We'll talk about them, Espo. And also, to flip the script a little bit, U of A, one win away from the College World Series title. We'll also get into the Diamondbacks a little bit. We're going to be joined on the show today by Pedro Gomez, who is in Omaha and has been for like 2.5 weeks. We'll talk to him. Doug Plank, former Chicago Bears safety who played under Buddy Ryan, and then Charlie Turner Thorne, ASU's women's basketball coach who had a relationship with Pat Summitt. First off, Espo, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday?
I'm good. We spun the wheel of co-hosts, and I wound up with you today for my third straight show, filling in for Brad.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And that means it has to be a good day, right? You know, I have a lot of shoes to fill between Paula and Jeff Munn the last few days.
But you don't have the talent or the looks of Paula.
Absolutely.
And the voice of Jeff Munn.
No one has the soothing voice of Jeff Munn.
This is kind of the lowest of my three.
You've gone down. You've been called down, sent back down to AAA, I guess, for today's episode. But we're excited to have the A-list guests, major league guests, despite the AAA co-host. So anyways, Espo, let's first talk about Pat Summitt. Summitt, and for lack of a better term, revolutionized women's college basketball and was the face of the sport for a long time. 8 national championships. Her and Gino Auriemma went back and forth for years, and she passed away today.
Yeah, sad story to hear about. And the thing that impressed me most about Pat Summitt wasn't what she did on the basketball court, you know, as a coach. It wasn't, you know, the wins that she accumulated. It had to be the person she was and the impact she had on players that went through that program. You hear a lot of her former players talk today about her, and it was always about she was always willing to bring you in the office and talk to you about life and help you figure out things and understand what was going on in your world, which meant, you know, obviously means a lot to these players. But then the graduation rate too, 100% graduation rate as the head coach at Tennessee. That speaks volumes to me because
Incredible. That
shows she understood that they were there to learn about the game, but about the world, and these classes were important to her students. So those things really stick out to me about Pat Summitt.
And you can't help but think, you know, she started, I believe it was 1974 was her first year at Tennessee. And, you know, to bring, you know, social societal issues to a head, which don't normally like to do, but you can't help but do it in a situation like this. It's not easy for a woman in the sports world, even still today. Yet this is someone back in the 70s who was a mom, who was an educator, who was a basketball coach, and ended up being at the forefront and the face of an entire sport. And she handled it with flair. She handled it with class. And as you mentioned, 100% graduation rate. So she was a role model. She was a leader. She changed people's lives. And she did it in situations that might have been a lot harder for the John Woodens of the world, the Dean Smiths of the world, you know, guys that have their names on basketball courts at schools like Coach K does. It speaks volumes for Tennessee. Doesn't have a male coach's name on their court. It is the Pat Summitt court. And that tells you how much, in a very conservative part of the country, that they have a woman representing them. It just speaks volumes to how she was just above all a remarkable, remarkable person and someone that regardless of gender, race, age, whatever, she was someone that made an unbelievable impact in a sport.
Well, yeah, when you think of Tennessee basketball, you don't think of
Bruce Pearl.
You don't think of the men's program at all. You think of Pat Summitt. You bring up a great point. When you start in this industry in 1974, the challenges you face are tremendous compared to, think about Becky Hammon And the fact that it was such a huge deal that she was an NBA assistant coach last year, that she coached the summer league team.
And that was in 2015, 2016.
Yeah, so imagine trying to make an impact at a college in the South when it's 1974 and having that longevity and that legacy. And I read a great quote. Someone just talking about David West actually said that he thought Pat Summitt could coach men in the NBA because the way she demanded respect from every one of her players and just the way she carried herself, she would translate to that game, to the men's game on the professional level. That spoke volumes to me as well.
Buddy Ryan also passes away today. Had been well documented that he had severe health issues over the years, the last few years. It was seen in the 30 for 30 on the Bears, Mike Singletary going out to visit him. Former Cardinals head coach. It's fun to reflect back on his time here because he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. He won a Super Bowl with the Bears as the defensive coordinator. And then he got a winner in town. And it was probably one of the more bizarre, rocky, but at least it was a blip on the radar in the Cardinals' history.
Well, yeah, during the time back in 1994 when Buddy Ball came to town, it was the Cardinals were, you know, a distant second. We were a two-team town at that point. It was Suns and Cardinals, and the Cardinals were way in the back. And this was the first major move the Cardinals made, was to bring in Buddy Ryan. It was a big splash at the time, and he kind of rivaled Charles Barkley in terms of the quotes that you got out of him, the things that he did. It was a very short-lived run. It only lasted two seasons, but it was interesting to watch the way Buddy Ryan was. And he's on the opposite end of the spectrum from Pat Summitt in the way that he carried himself, but had just as much of an impact in his sport. And I found it interesting. He was actually the linebacker coach for that Jets team that won the Super Bowl when Joe Namath made the guarantee back when they were AFL. And
so there's another Super Bowl in his bookshelf.
And he also went and got his master's while he was coaching, which I never realized as well until today. He was a character. And I think that's the best way you could sum up what his legacy was just kind of, he was a guy that was funny. I can't imagine if he was in his prime now, just the way he'd be covered, because some of the things he said, they were
sound bite,
you know, culture kind of quotes. Like he, and I hate to bring this up today, but one of the more famous things that he's known for is punching Kevin Gilbright on the sidelines when he was a coach with the Houston Oilers. And his apology was, quote, "Kevin Gilbright will be selling insurance in 2 years." That was his apology. Like, it's those kind of quotes. He said about his infamous 46 defense, he said, "Some people say the 46 is just an 8-man front. That's like saying Marilyn Monroe is just a girl." Like, he was made for the internet, social media culture. These sound bites are the kind of thing that thrive in today's ecosystem. And He was a big personality, and you understand why Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan are the kind of coaches that they are, because they grew up around Buddy. Both of them were here in Arizona on the coaching staff when Buddy was the head coach. Like, they grew up around their dad, and that's why they have the personalities that they do. And love him, hate him, during his coaching tenure, you couldn't deny that Buddy Ryan was a true entertainer and a revolutionary when it came to defensive schemes in the NFL. His 84 Bears still hold the record for most sacks in a season in NFL history.
And we'll talk more about Buddy Ryan coming up around in about 20 minutes as Doug Plank, who was his 46, was what coined the 46 defense. So we'll talk more about Buddy in a minute, in about 20 minutes. We're going to have Pedro Gomez coming up next. Pedro is in Omaha. The U of A Wildcats are a win away from the College World Series, a team that was barely over 500 for the season, who snuck in as a 2 seed in a regional that was headlined by Louisiana Lafayette, is one win away from a College World Series championship. This team is doing They don't carry themselves as a team that's an underdog. They don't carry themselves as a team that's on this magical run. They're loose. They're fun. And they make some fantastic plays out there. They do the small things. Great defense. Timely hitting. Phenomenal pitching. And it's pretty remarkable what they've done. It's not going to be an easy task. They still got to get one more, but it's been pretty remarkable what they've done to this point.
Yeah, it's nice to have at least one baseball team in the state of Arizona that can win this summer.
Yep, and that segues into the Diamondbacks' woes, who lost to the lowly Philadelphia Phillies, who scored a combined, five runs in three or four games when it was in Philly when the Diamondbacks played them. They had more runs in an inning last night than they had that whole road trip.
Yeah, when you lose 8-0, you can't refer to another team as lowly. So
yeah, and just the thing that I found on social media last night that is just alarming, and I posed this question to you before we got started. The Diamondbacks have the fifth best road record in baseball at 23-17. That's ahead of teams like Washington and Cleveland and Toronto and Boston, Dodgers, teams that are fantastic. Yet, if I'd asked you before the season started that the last week of June they'd have the fifth best road record, you'd be thinking this is one hell of a summer that we're having.
Yeah,
right?
I'd be telling you Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller would probably be the 1-2 for the NL All-Star team. I'd be horribly wrong, but that's what I'd be telling you. You know how much I care about this Diamondbacks team right now, and I probably shouldn't admit this because I'm here doing this show and probably should have watched last night's game. No, I decided to watch the OJ documentary, the 30 for 30, and avoid the Diamondbacks game completely.
Can I one-up you in that regard?
Oh, you watched The Bachelorette, didn't you?
No, I watched Shark Week.
Oh, okay.
Shark Week, which was phenomenal. Like, Shark Week, they had some great stuff we hadn't seen before. I've watched Shark Week since I'm 10 years old. Never seen some of this stuff. Then I'd flip during commercial break to the Diamondbacks game, and the air would be taken out of the room.
There was more carnage in that D-backs game last night than you saw on Shark Week.
You're probably right. It's good stuff. That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat here on the show today. Coming up next, Pedro Gomez, live from Omaha. He's been there for, a month now? As the Wildcats keep winning, we'll talk to him about that. Plus a little Diamondbacks as well. That's Greg. I'm Jared, filling in for Brad on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Jared Cohen, Greg Esposito filling in for Brad Sesmat on the show today, and glad to be joined now, as we do each and every week, with ESPN baseball insider Pedro Gomez, who, I don't know, not very many people this time of year travel to Omaha for 2 weeks for a vacation, but I guess that's what Pedro Gomez is doing. And are you enjoying your vacation, your time away? Nothing important going on, is there?
It has truly, truly been amazing. And, you know, unfortunately, it's also my 25th anniversary year with my wife, and this is our 25th anniversary trip now. This turned into it.
Great stuff, Pedro. Congrats. 25 years. Congrats on that. And what a family memory that you guys are throwing together. Even though it's not the ideal place to be, maybe, for your 25th wedding anniversary, but what a family lifelong memory you guys are having together.
It truly is unbelievable. I mean, you know, you hear the cliche, once in a lifetime, but in this case, I think it applies. Not many teams get to go to Omaha. You know, only 8 a year ago, and it just doesn't happen that often. And here we are spending it, you know, with our oldest son. Our other two kids are with us, so the whole family's here, able to truly enjoy this experience. And man, it is an experience. It really is. When you see the College World Series, I know a lot of people are watching. You know, the ratings are very good for this event, and it's just it's unbelievable to think that, you know, one of my kids is here playing in this.
Have you ever seen a baseball team do what this Arizona program has been able to do? They won 6 straight elimination games just to get to this point. Then they win the first game, 1 win away from the World Series championship.
You know, it is a testament to that team concept. It's probably an overused, but chemistry, team concept, You know, Jay Johnson, the head coach, challenged a few of the seniors who didn't really play a lot last year. Ryan Aguilar, the first baseman, Cody Raymer, the second baseman. You know, he brought in some JUCO kids who are really, really junior college kids who are really excelling, and just did a lot of stuff in the fall that at first you kind of scratched your head a little bit, like, wow, what is he doing? But he did some team bonding things. He brought in motivational speakers. They went on a retreat one day where it was just the players. I remember, you know, and I talked to my son a lot, and I remember asking him, so what did you guys do today? He goes, Dad, you know, I know we talk a lot. I tell you a lot of things, but this one is just for us. This is just for the players. We don't really want to share this one.
Chills. That's really interesting.
So, you know, I respected that. So I don't know exactly what went on that retreat, but a lot of team building things that Jay Johnson has done, and here we are. You know, there's only the possibility of two games left in the collegiate season, possibly one, which we're hoping it's only one.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems like every button he's pushed has been the right one, especially during these last 6 weeks. You know, you looked at the beginning of the PAC season, they started out 1-5 in the PAC. Went up to Seattle, lost 2 of 3 at UW, then went to Salt Lake City and got swept by the Utes in games that they led in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. Blew 3 late inning leads. And you thought, oh, this is not going to be a good season. But by the end of the season, you know, they were sweeping teams like Berkeley. They went and swept Oregon State. It just, you know, they've been playing really, really good baseball for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, you hear it all the time. It's not the best team that wins. It's the hottest team. It's the team that's playing best at the right time. And I think Arizona is a testament to that. They are playing the best baseball of anybody right now.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the show from Omaha. U of A is one win away from a College World Series. Pedro's son, Rio, on the team. And you watch this team play, Pedro, and the little things, like the barehanded play with Raymer running in and charging at second base, that just the little defensive plays. You have a Cloney that's throwing 85, 86 out there, but throwing darts and just pinpoint accuracy and the timely hitting. It's hard to pinpoint what has made this team so successful, but is there something that this team has kind of, from a mentality, kind of leaned on as what they need to be successful to get that one more win and to what's gotten them to this point?
I think it's more or less everybody doing their job. Don't worry about anybody else. And you hear that a lot in sports, but it truly does apply. And getting the players to buy into that isn't always easy. And in this case, I mean, they play airtight defense. They've made one error here in Omaha. They've pitched. The ERA for all 6 games here in Omaha is 1.00.
Wow.
You know, they've allowed 1 earned run per game on average. So pitching and defense, you know, you always hear that about baseball. It's all about pitching and defense. That's how you win championships. Well, sure enough, that's what they're doing. It's not like they're a juggernaut. They put the ball in play. I do think that TD Ameritrade is definitely a pitcher's park. It's a big ballpark where you cannot slug the ball. You know, it's hard to hit home runs here. And because they play at High Corbett Field down in Tucson, where the dimensions are enormous. I mean, it's 366 down the left field line down at High Corbett. It's 348 to right. It's 410 in the alleys. Mm-hmm. So it's a big ballpark, which forces you to play a different style of game. You're not going to slug the ball. You're going to slash. You're going to hit line drives. You're going to put the ball in play. You're going to move guys over with sacrifice bunts. And it's really helping them here because that is the style of ball that you need to play in Omaha because the park is so big. I think another aspect that kind of gets overlooked is there's really only one superstar on the team, and it's Bobby Dalbec. And even if he hasn't had the greatest season, he separates himself from everybody. He's the best baseball player on the team. He is this one star. But when he doesn't act like a star, which he doesn't, it helps everyone else say, okay, if our best player is working as hard as anybody, if our best player isn't a prima donna, then let's all just go out and be a part of one unit. And I think that also has helped.
Let's move to the other end of the spectrum in baseball here in Arizona, a little bit on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Is there a way to fix this team at this point? Shelby Miller comes back, has one good start, then looks like the Shelby Miller we saw before his quote-unquote rehab stint. Is there a way to fix this team, or is it too late?
You know, it's too late in the sense of let's go out and make three deals that are going to do something. I don't think they have the wherewithal in terms of the prospects and in terms of other clubs wanting what they have or what they're willing to give. So I think that part is too late. I think they truly have to try to fix what they have. And you talk to scouts around the game and they say, you know, they're perplexed because they remember the Shelby Miller from 3 years ago when the Cardinals won the World Series, or went to the World Series, I should say. They lost to Boston, but they went to the World Series, and Shelby Miller was one of the best young pitchers in the game. They scratched their heads over that. But in terms of trying to fix this season, it's almost impossible to do at this point with this roster configuration. So what they basically have to do is try to fix what they have. They have to try to fix Shelby Miller. They have to hope that, you know, and Goldschmidt has been absolutely coming back, but hopefully they're hoping that he can get back to that 325 average with close to 40 home runs, things like that. I mean, they're in a spot now with less than 100 games to go where it's next to impossible to try to fix this season. You know, I've heard speculation, hey, Zach Greinke, you could really bring in a boatload of prospects. I don't see other clubs wanting to take on that type of salary without the Diamondbacks having to take on probably half. And at that point, I cannot, for the life of me, imagine Ken Kendrick saying, yes, let's do that.
Yeah,
he's not going to pay close to $100 million to watch Zach Greinke walk away just to save that other $100. He's not going to do that.
And after just a half a season, too, right? So after all the buzz that it created.
Yeah.
You know, it's Jared Cohen and Greg Esposito filling in for Brad today. We're visiting with Pedro Gomez. I posed this question to Greg, Pedro, and I'll pose it to you. If I'd have told you back in April that the Diamondbacks would have the fifth best road record in baseball, you'd probably be thinking that this was a special summer going on in Phoenix. Am I right?
Of course. And it is head scratching how they're not performing well at Chase Field. it really, there is no answer for it. And that's why I say when you talk about trying to, you know, fix this season, it's too late. They have to fix the parts. And certainly playing at home, I know that Chip Hale has no, like, it's just mind-boggling to him that they're not playing better ball at home. Because you're right, when you have the fifth-best road record in ball, usually you're a competitive team. You're competing, you're close to first place, you're in the wild card hunt, things like that. And the Diamondbacks just aren't there yet. So why they're playing so poorly at Chase Field, I don't know that there is an answer for that one.
Well, kind of a sad day in sports with the passing of Pat Summitt and Buddy Ryan. Pedro, in all your years of covering sports, did you ever cross paths with either of them?
I did. Not on a one-on-one basis, but I did, you know, just in terms of coverage of events and things like that. And I can tell you that Buddy Ryan was a prickly guy, but you knew that he knew what he was doing when he was out there coaching. And I actually, as a fan, I was at that 1985 Monday night football game in Miami at the Orange Bowl when the Dolphins demolished the Bears, their only loss of that season. And, you know, it was a very happy day for Pedro Gomez, the fan, in 1985 before I was working in the business.
Keep that undefeated record, right?
Absolutely. If you're a Dolphin fan, you want that to be the only one, of course. But the way that Dan Marino just carved up the Bears and watching Mike Ditka yell to Buddy Ryan, which I later saw. We saw him yelling. We couldn't hear what he was saying, but we later heard, why can't we stop that guy? And Marino just killing him. But he was a little prickly. You know, he was not the easiest guy to get along with. Pat Summitt, though, my Lord, what a legend, what a competitor, and I think her legacy will live forever. I mean, her battles with Gino Auriemma at UConn and, you know, just the competitive fire and the way that she handled herself, I cannot say enough positive things about what Pat Summitt did for the women's game in particular, because women's college basketball was next to nothing when she started at Tennessee. And by the time she finished, it became, you know, it had become a huge event. The NCAA Women's Tournament, the ratings, the popularity, everything about it is off the charts. I know in talking to Charlie Turner Thorne at ASU years ago, she got emotional talking about Pat Summitt because of what Pat Summitt laid, how she laid the groundwork for everyone in the women's game. And that includes Gino Auriemma at UConn. Pat Summitt was the trailblazer. She was the one that said, why can't we be on par with the men? Why can't we do the same things? And there were times in Knoxville at the University of Tennessee, there were well over a decade where the women's games were the hard ticket to get. The men's games, you could just walk up and sit almost anywhere, but the women's games were an event. And that tells you what Pat Summitt did, not only in Knoxville, but for the women's game.
Pedro, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it, and we hope back here in Arizona you come home a day earlier than given, and hope they can take care of business here tonight in Omaha against Coastal Carolina.
Oh, that would be spectacular, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Pedro. It's Pedro Gomez joining us like he does each and every week. That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, talk Buddy Ryan. As he passed away today, one of his former players, Doug Plank, joins us here on the show. We'll talk to him next here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Again, that's Greg. I'm Jared, filling in for Brad on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the Brad Sesmatch Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. That's Greg Esposito. We're filling in for Brad on the show today. A tough day. Pat Summitt passes away, and also Buddy Ryan, former Chicago Bears, Philadelphia Eagles, and Arizona Cardinals head coach. And we're glad to be joined right now by one of his former players, one of Buddy Ryan's former players, Doug Plank, former Chicago Bear, joins us on the show. Doug, I'm sure it's a tough day today, but also a nice day to reflect on someone I'm sure means a lot to you.
No, it's really been exciting just to talk to some of the people I have today, some former players as well as some reporters. And, you know, I think just talking about Buddy Ryan, he's a unique, one-of-a-kind guy. I don't think you're ever going to see anybody like him in the National Football League. But he created something in the 80s called the 46 defense, which was so special, you know, arguably, if not the best defense, certainly in the top five.
Some people would describe Buddy's personality as prickly at times, but as a player, what did he mean to you as a coach?
Well, when he first came in, I mean, I think he antagonized every player he ever coached. And, you know, he certainly, but, you know, you look at his history, he was a sergeant in the Korean War, and the military philosophy is to build, knock people down and then build them back up again. And that's exactly what he did as a football coach. You know, he criticized. He antagonized players when he first met them, and that's exactly what he did in Chicago when he came from the Vikings. But over time, you could tell that he cared for you. He had incredible concepts. He was a very unique innovator of defensive schemes and concepts, and most importantly, he gave authority to players, and that was unheard of back in those days.
And Doug, you mentioned the 46 defense. You are the number 46. So can you tell the story of how that kind of all came about with your number basically being named after a defense that's become so well known over the years?
Well, you know, Buddy created a lot of different defenses when he was in Chicago. One of them happened to be the 46 defense. And, you know, why the 46 defense? Buddy named all his defenses after the players that were the important part of each one of their schemes. In other words, if you were a player that was going on a blitz, then he would, you know, 36, you know, Winfred Gaines. He's a defensive back that we had. We call it the 36 blitz. So everybody knew 36, he was on a blitz. Buddy simplified everything. Unlike John Gruden that makes everything an acronym and, you know, talking all this terminology in football, I'm sorry, football players are not that intelligent. They can't digest all that out in the field. They need, tell me now, tell me fast. And, you know, especially in game situations, and that's exactly what Buddy did. He had great concepts, and we had an attack philosophy that nobody else could solve.
When you look at the NFL today, what is Buddy Ryan's legacy in today's game?
His legacy, I think, is to bring up defensive schemes that were unheard of back in the day. Could they work today? Probably not with the spread offenses. But back then, nobody had an answer for it, including the innovative Bill Walsh from the San Francisco 49ers. You know, it was so challenging, and what Buddy did was he got an aggressive group of players together that were willing to sacrifice for each other. It became the 85 Bears.
Former Chicago Bears safety Doug Plank joining the Brad Sesmat Show. Jared Cohen, Greg Esposito filling in for Brad here today. And Doug, I'd love a story or something from your perspective on because everyone has the tough Buddy Ryan comes to fruition. But you know, I watched that the 30 for 30 documentary on the Bears a few months back, and a lot of his players talked about that profound relationship that they had with him after a certain amount of years. Was there a point or something that occurred over your years with him when you realized it was more along those lines than it was this hard-nosed guy that really broke you down in the beginning?
Well, he showed the sergeant, the Army sergeant, 99% of the time. But there were times where you saw the real Buddy Ryan. And one time in particular, we had lost a very tough game. At the end of the game, the defense had allowed a touchdown. And we lost the game in the final moments of the game. And when he was addressing the team on Monday morning, you could tell his disappointment. And at the end of his presentation and speech to the team, tears started rolling down his face. I will tell you, at that moment, everybody in that room started drinking the Kool-Aid. And whatever Buddy Ryan wanted, he was going to get. Because everyone understood that he wasn't just a sergeant. He cared about people. And he had emotions. And deep down inside this tough exterior, there was a very soft person that was reaching out to everybody in that room. And I can only remember tears myself by many of the players. And I remember coming out of that meeting room saying, you know, we are going someplace. You know, it may not be this year, but I will do anything it takes for that man and that defense.
One of my favorite things about Buddy Ryan, and Jared and I talked about this earlier in the show, were the quotes that he had. He had some of the funniest quotes I've ever read in football. Well, is there any that stand out in your mind, or any that he may have said in the locker room that meant something to you?
Well, I love Buddy's coaching style. He only had, when you watch the game film, he only had three things he said. And he, you were either a dumb donkey, a horse manure, or blew your mind. And what he meant by that was you either physically made a mistake, you mentally made a mistake, or you just simply lost your mind. And if you got all three of those on one play, that was called the Triple Crown. And you were not going to be on the Chicago Bears defense very long if you got a Triple Crown. And you know, he was unique. I like the fact that he took the names off. You didn't have any names in a meeting room. You were a number or you were an adjective. And some of the adjectives were good, some were not very good, and it all depended on you. So if you had a bad adjective that he referred to you as, you know, much like some of the politics today we see on television, it was up to you to change that. Mm-hmm. And there was only one way you could change it, and that was on the field.
So were you more often a good or a bad adjective in Buddy's mind?
Well, my nickname was Blondie because I had blonde hair at the time. And used to call me, refer to me as 46 a lot. So, you know, I didn't realize it at the time. What an honor when he came out with his 46 defense. I was the middle linebacker, and never realizing that defense was going to go on to greatness in the Super Bowl.
Doug Plank joining us here on the show, former Chicago Bears safety. Now, you obviously know him well. You knew him through some of his most successful times. Kind of localizing Buddy Ryan's time here in Arizona, what didn't work? What didn't click here when he was the head coach of the Cardinals?
Well, I'll just say this. You know, every one of us goes through things in our life that we're better at and sometimes we're not as good. I think by the time he came here to Arizona, he was on the tail end of his coaching career. I don't know if he had the same energy, the exuberance that he had when he was in Chicago. I don't think he was as witty. I don't think he was as sharp. You know, one thing Buddy had was an incredible ability to communicate with defensive players. I think one thing he struggled with was to communicate with offensive players. And I don't think he ever felt really comfortable around them. You know, I think that's the one thing that held him back as a head coach. He was an unbelievable defense coordinator any place he had ever been. But it was putting everything together and pulling those offensive and defensive players together. But, you know, I think for what he did, for what he's known for, his innovative concepts on defense and strategies and his ability not only to put players in position, but most importantly, to put them in the right disposition. And what do I mean by that? He would give you an attitude that you would go out there and you would do anything for your team, your organization, and most importantly, him.
Doug, thank you so much for sharing your day with us, a day I know that's going to be memorable for you for a long time, and it means a lot that you'll join us on the show to share some of your thoughts. It means a lot.
No, thank you very much for having me on.
That's Doug Plank, former Chicago Bears safety, played under Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan passes away today here on June 28th. Coming up next, we'll talk to ASU women's head basketball coach, Charlie Turner Thorne. Pat Summitt meant a lot to her. She'll share her thoughts with us. That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat today here on the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad today. It's a tough day in the sports world and really just in our country overall as we lost some incredible, iconic figures. Today, Gino Auriemma released a statement, the great UConn coach. I'll skip to the second part of it. From a personal standpoint, I think you can see how difficult it was back then for a woman to try to do something that really no one had ever done before and no one thought they could do, trying to juggle being a mom and being a coach and being a representative for the game. From all the different aspects of looking at what her career was, there were a lot of things that she was the first for. There were other people that did it, but no one did it better or did it longer. That's Gino Auriemma talking about Pat Summitt. And with that being said, I'd like to shift gears now to another coach who Pat Summitt meant a lot to. That's Charlie Turner Thorne, ASU's women head basketball coach, and she joins us here now on the Brad Sesmat Show. That's Greg. I'm Jared. Pat, Charlie, how are you doing today?
Hi, good. Jared, Greg, how are you guys?
We're doing okay. Let's talk about, you know, we were reminded of the game at Chase Field between you guys,
right,
and Tennessee, yeah, back in 2000, brought almost 17,000 people to the stadium, and you kind of refer to that time as kind of a turning point in your program's history. Can you refer back to that experience and your experience with Pat Summitt?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, we really were. We were trying, we were still building and growing and trying to become a national name. And Ken White, actually, our athletic director, was the one who had the idea of, hey, Charlie, let's create an event. You know, let's create something that really, you know, you're about to turn the corner. Let's put ASU women's basketball in the spotlight. And after much thought and meetings and stuff, we came up with this outdoor game. And, you know, obviously we weren't the team to beat and the team everybody wanted to watch. So we had to get one of those, you know, perennial powerhouses to play us to make it a huge event, even though it was the first ever outdoor women's basketball game. I called Gino. You know, he said, you know, wasn't going to work. And, you know, really Gino and Pat, Tennessee and UConn, were the one and two programs in the country. And, you know, Pat kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit because it absolutely did not work in their schedule. I mean, they had a brutal schedule, as they always did, and they were traveling all around the country. And you know what? I mean, I will forever be indebted to Pat Summitt in a lot of ways. But personally, I mean, she agreed to do it because it was great for the game. It was not great for her team and her program with her schedule in that year. But she came out. It was really neat because Tamika Catching doing an internship with the Mercury. And so, you know, there was just a lot of tie-ins, but she scheduled it because she knew it was going to be just this huge event that was going to grow the game of women's basketball. And that's who she was. I mean, you know, she obviously, you know, was constantly having a huge vision for the game and was way ahead of her time, you know, like a coach would. So, and that did put us on the map, you guys. We had back-to-back Pac-10 championships for the first time ever. You know, we didn't beat them. We lost by five. but it kind of showed our team, you know, why not us? We can do this. And it was a great game in the sense competitively. It was hard to shoot outside in the winter. And from then that started a relationship with Pat that, of course, ended yesterday. And you know, we knew that this, you know, unfortunately, you know, she just had a really, really bad I don't know. There's so many different types of Alzheimer's disease, and I'm not an expert, you guys. But, you know, we knew even when she was diagnosed that it was going to, you know, it was tough. You know, she wasn't, you know, it's not like you're 80 and you're sort of getting dementia. She had a very severe version of this horrible, horrible disease. I'll share with you guys, too, real quickly. Yes. Sybil Dosti plays for Pat, and she's in Hawaii now, coaching in Hawaii. I get my phone rings at 7:20, which is 4:20 a.m. their time, and it's Sybil. And I'm, of course, worried because I know she's in Hawaii. I'm like, this is really early. But I also kind of, I thought about her this morning, too, because she played for Pat, and she just called, you know, because she was emotional and, you know, just called to say thank you and, you know, that she's felt so blessed to play for, you know, Pat and you know, we've talked about me a little bit. So anyway, I just, you know, I mean, even somebody that didn't, you know, and she left her program, but she's, you know, she was very, very impacted.
Would the women's game be where it is today without the influence of Pat Summitt?
You know, that's, you know, I'd have to say no, because I know how much she's impacted it. I mean, the success that she had consistently brought so much media attention to the game. You know, everybody, I mean, she was such a superstar that people wanted to follow women's basketball. Whereas if we didn't have someone like that, they maybe wouldn't have, you know. So I think you can credit her not only with being a great mentor to a lot of us younger coaches. I'm not that young anymore, but back in the day I was. But, I mean, just, you know, her books. I mean, I read her books. I watched her. You know, all of us have learned a lot from her. She was a lifelong learner. She was a great role model. But I just think her success and who she was and the way the media just enjoyed her and obviously, you know, they're going to cover the winners and the champions. And she handled it with grace and you know, just – you know, personality that they wanted, you know, to cover her. And so I think, no, we wouldn't be in this place. And she has, you know, obviously in many ways done so much for our game.
I know the game that you guys had at Chase Field was kind of the start of a relationship with the two of you. How often did you guys, you know, stay in touch? Did you, was it someone that you had involved quite a bit in your life over the course of your coaching career, whether in a professional setting or a personal setting? Was she someone that you would bounce things off of at times?
Well, no, I mean, you know, I tell you what, when you're a working mom and you're in college coaching,
sure.
we call each other when we need each other, you know, and we see each other, and we see each other because we see each other at the convention and we see each other on the road recruiting. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, that's kind of, was the nature of our relationship. And do I feel like I could pick up the phone and did I a couple times and, you know, ask Pat about something? Yes, I do. But, you know, you know, certainly when she got diagnosed and stuff, you know, the whole world reached out to her. And then, you know, obviously at that point, I think she really just tried to find a little bit of peace of quiet. Sure. And, you know, just needed to take care of herself. So, you know, it's been just really her closest longtime coaching friends that have been in contact with her probably the last year and a half. Yeah.
Do you think her rivalry with Geno and that Tennessee-UConn rivalry is an underrated one in sports?
Well, I rated it pretty high. I mean, I think that, you know, Tennessee's success, but also as Connecticut got better and better, then they had, you know, two programs and two dynamic personalities to talk about. So I think it grew even bigger. So obviously, you know, the emergence of UConn was, you know, a blessing too for women's basketball and kind of helped bring more and more exposure. So I know, you know, we talk about the evil empire and there was some, you know, it seemed a little tense at times. But, you know, obviously for the media, that's good, right? They like that. It sells. It's something that people like to talk about. And I don't think it was, you know, and you guys read Gino's comments. I think that they were very, very sincere. I don't think, you know, I think it was really more for hype and TV. I think that Geno would have done anything for Pat, and Pat would have done anything for Geno had they asked. So, you know, good. I mean, you got, you know, I mean, she was just so tough and strong, and, you know, so is he. So, you know, just great, strong personalities kind of getting after it. But at the end of the day, you know, they were colleagues.
Charlie Turner Thorne, ASU's women's basketball coach, joins us here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Jared Cohen and Greg Esposito filling in for Brad. We see a lot in the media and on as consumers of sports, the great things that she achieved and some of the highlights. But from a day-to-day basketball coach in terms of X's and O's and coaching and what really made the team consistently a contender, what were some of those things? What were some of her philosophies as a coach outside of the media and things of that nature?
Well, and, you know, she has, I think, three books total at least. I own three. And I think that Pat, of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, but she not only won games, but she got it. You know, she understood. And, you know, I teared up when I saw Carl Lawson's interview this morning while I was working out because, you know, I mean, she's had such an impact on the women that have played for her. And that's really what it's all about. I mean, there's no multi-million dollar contract for these for our players when they graduate. You know, we need to grow them as leaders and women and help them, you know, go out into the world and be prepared for life after basketball. And Pat Summitt did that. It's well documented through her players and through her books, how to build a culture, you know, things, how to have standards of excellence but still love your players. And I think she, huge reason for her success was just kind of who she was, you know, as a mentor, as a leader, not just as an X and O coach. I think, you know, I certainly subscribe to the Pat Summitt philosophy of bottom line is even if we're having an off offensive day, we're going to have a chance to win the game because we will defend and we will rebound. And I think, you know, that's something that our teams do. That's something that the Tennessee teams always did. I mean, you might not like say, oh, that's beautiful offense and spacing and all that. But, man, didn't matter. They were, you know, they were in every game and they were going to defend you every possession and control the boards. And so, I mean, I think she got it in every realm. But most importantly, you know, I think as a mentor and a leader, and I, you know, her last book really talked about, you know, maybe things that she would have done differently. And, you know, maybe she was a little hard on some kids early. And that's who she was. You know, she just had the ability to look at herself and evaluate and keep growing and learning. And that's pretty awesome, in my opinion.
Pat, one more. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Charlie Turner Thorne joining us here, ASU women's basketball coach. Let's talk about your team coming off a phenomenal season and a run into the NCAA tournament. What can we expect? What can we be excited about going into next year after some really great momentum after some of the things that have happened the last few?
Yeah. Thanks. Well, you know, obviously we're trying to get to that elusive Final Four. We have our whole front line back. We have Sophie Kelsey Quinn and a fifth-year transfer, Sarah Hattis from Texas, who's 6'5". So we're going to be bigger. And then, you know, Sabrina Haynes had a great freshman year for us. We have a very, you know, we have a talented sophomore class that'll be a year older. We have the highest-ranked recruiting class in the history of our program, and they're really good. We have five freshmen. We're calling them the Fab Five, and I think they're going to live up to it, guys. they're really good. They ranked seventh in the nation, and I think it's pretty legit. Even though the girls' rankings aren't always that accurate, they're very, very talented. So it's going to be fun. I mean, we have all this newness, but then we have this great core returning of you know, kind of this amazing front line and all these young guards that are, you know, these star players out of high school. So a really fantastic thing for us, it happens to be the year for our foreign tour. So we get to go on a foreign tour, which we're going to Costa Rica, which will be really fun, great team time, but allows us to have 10 practices in the summer. So you guys can imagine how invaluable
that is. Coach's dream, right?
That is. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, we have no upper-class backcourt guards. Wow. Jared and Greg. But we're super talented. So the extra time to learn the playbook, to just, you know, figure out, okay, the pace of play and college defense and all that. We're really excited. I mean, things are going to be really, really fun. A little bit unexpected, but I think we have all the talent we need. We just got to get things to come together, and our summer tour should really help give us that extra time to be ready for what is always, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but we always schedule tough, you guys. So we'll have another amazing preseason schedule and that will prepare us hopefully to win another Pac-12 championship.
Coach, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us this morning and joining us. We really, really appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys just talking and helping remember Pat. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you. That's head coach Charlie Turner Thorne, ASU women's head basketball coach, joining us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Greg Esposito, Jared Cohen. Before we wrap it up for this segment, just your overall thoughts. You know, we've talked to Doug Plank. We've talked to Coach Turner Thorne about the two. What did you learn? What is something that's created more of an impact from talking to people that knew them well?
Well, I'll say this. I'm about to become a father to a daughter in November, and knowing that there's strong female influences like Pat Summitt was, Charlie Turner Thorne is now who learned from Pat Summitt, that means a lot to me because to know that my daughter's going to have these strong female role models to look up to and to learn about means a lot because we don't always have a lot of that in today's society. You get a lot of the Kardashianization of our world, and knowing that there were strong women like Pat Summitt, there are strong women out there like Charlie Turner Thorne that are putting an example out there for our daughters. That was impactful to me.
Yeah, being the dad of two, I could echo your comments completely. Really good stuff. That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. It's the Brad Sesmatch Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.